Today's Bible reading is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned to one another, with brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to man no evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Thanks be to God.
This section of Paul's letter to the Romans is all about love. We're told that love must be genuine. We're told that all the commandments that God has given, whatever they are, sum up in one commandment: love your neighbour as you love yourself. We want to grow in love to understand what love is. We want to know what love is, and we want someone to show us. And we get the great example of Jesus. We're called to be a community who know how to love. Now, this emphasis on love goes all the way through the writings of Jesus. Matthew, Mark and Luke's gospel all tell us that when Jesus was asked what was most important in the commandments God had given, he mentioned two: love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as you love yourself. And Paul writes here in Romans 13:9, that all commandments are summed up in the one command: to love your neighbour. And in Galatians chapter 5, he says that the entire law is fulfilled in one commandment. If you want to understand what Jesus wants us to do, if you want to understand what his priorities are, don't start with the detail of what he says. Don't start with the detail of the Bible. Start by understanding Jesus as somebody who loves. Read the Gospels and look at this person who loves and loves and loves. If we want to know what love is and we want someone to show us, then Jesus is the place that we are to look. James, in his letter that's been preserved for us in the Bible, says that this commandment to love our neighbour as to love ourselves, as we love ourselves, is the royal law. It is the one that comes from the King. So, a few thoughts about love today. First one: if you're going to love others well, you also need to love yourself. That's what it says. Love your neighbour as you love yourself. I don't buy the idea that we have to love other people more than we love ourselves. That's not what Jesus said. Look at the person who writes this letter. Paul had done some horrific things in the past. He had persecuted believers. He'd approved of their death penalty. He had hounded this church, filled the early church with fear. And yet God forgave him. And he understood that God, despite his past, loved him. Now, it's really vital as Christians that we grasp this just as Paul did. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are the apple of God's eye. God loves me. God loves you. And if God loves me, then I can learn to love me as well, exactly as I am. And you can learn to love you exactly as you are. Because when we do that, we are agreeing with God. Now, Paul, when he writes these verses, is very realistic. He says that we shouldn't have a higher estimate of ourselves than the truth. We shouldn't have a bigger view of our gifts than they actually are. And loving ourselves actually enables ourselves to see ourselves realistically. We don't need to make out that we are somebody fantastic. That doesn't matter. What matters is that God loves us. We don't need to worry too much about our flaws because God loves us despite them. And we don't need to keep pushing ourselves forward, and neither do we need to always stand back. We accept ourselves, we love ourselves as we are. Brothers and sisters, one of the great eureka moments of the Christian lives, and sometimes we can take a long time to get there, but the great eureka moment is when we realize God really loves me. And if God really loves me, I can really love me too, exactly as I am. And then the next step of love, loving the church family around us. We're told in our Bible reading today that we are to honour one another. We're to look up to one another. Do you know what? I often talk about Mills Hill as a church family. Do you know God has honoured every person in that family? You know, he loved every person in our church enough that he died for them. That's why we respect people. We don't just respect people and thank them for what they do, and but that is important, but it's not everything. We don't just respect people for who they are. We respect and honor people for the way that God sees them. Once we start to do that for ourselves, then we can do that for other people too. You are loved. And that is why I am to respect you, and I am loved. And that is why you are to respect me. And we are to want all of us to receive God's grace more and more. And then the third aspect of love your enemy. It's a real eureka moment for us when we realize that God loves our enemies too. Paul writes in the Bible reading this morning, overcome evil with good. Treat your enemy well. If they're hungry, feed them. See if you can do something good for them. Because that's being Christ-like. We follow the one who went to the cross and asked God to forgive the people who were crucifying him. It says in our Bible reading today, don't take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. Now, think of God's wrath here as his extreme emotion. That's what the word for wrath means. It doesn't mean leave it up to God to give them a horrific punishment. It means that they are safer with God's emotions than they are with ours. In our emotions, we often want to hurt people. We often want to even destroy people. But we trust people to God because we know that God is bigger than us. See, Jesus is the great example. He defeated his enemies by loving them, and God raised him from the dead. And we get to share in his victory. Oh, realizing that is another of these great eureka moments. And then love for those who are in authority over us. That's after our Bible reading today. Our relationship with the government isn't grudgingly obeying them, but it is deeply respecting and honoring them out of the belief that God, in some way, has put them there. Now, all of these things of love can be complicated. There's loads of questions, and it would be good to discuss them together. What exactly does it mean to love ourselves, to love our church family, to love our enemies, to love authority, and lots of other types of love. We could also mention workplaces, family, things like that. There's lots of detail. But when we realize we are loved, when we realize that God loves those around us, it changes our heart. May God reveal that deeply to us, each one of us who is listening today. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And now, as an act of love, we come to prayer. First of all, I'd like you to pray for yourself. What are your needs today? And if at any time in this prayer you want to hit the pause button on the video to give you some more time, please do that. That would be great. But what are your needs for prayer today? We're told to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. So let's start by loving ourselves. What do you want God to do for you today? And then we pray as an act of love for our neighbours. Who are the neighbours? Who are the people who impact your life that you want to pray for today? And we're going to pray some prayer for people who are our neighbours. And I'm going to use some prayer suggestions from the Joint Public Issues team, as we've done a few times, just to help us broaden our prayers. First of all, we pray for those who are grieving, for those who have lost friends and family during lockdown and haven't been able to hold funerals or meet with others in ways that they wish to. We pray for them today. We pray for those who are self-employed, especially those who have not received government support during the pandemic, and for those whose businesses are finished or under threat. We pray for those who are affected by the racial inequalities of the pandemic. We pray that those affected might receive the right treatment and that wise policy measures might be introduced. We pray for all those affected by the explosion in Beirut. Many are still homeless and recovering from injury. And we pray for those affected by fire across the world, for refugees who have lost their homes. We pray for children back in school and especially for those with additional needs. We pray for their safe keeping and for care. We pray for families who have been able to spend more time together during the lockdown and for those who have found unexpected opportunities to spend more time with their children and for the way relationships have been strengthened. And we pray for all who have provided essential frontline support during the pandemic, those who've made PPE, all who have sacrificed. And as we're told to love our enemies, maybe there are people who make life difficult for you. Can you find it in your heart to pray God's blessing upon them today? See if you can. And finally, whatever other needs you want to bring before God today, again, if you need to hit the pause button, please do so. Amen.